Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I am Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor, supporting women in healing mother wounds through women's circles and through the one-on-one 10 weeks program. To know more about these offerings, you can check out my website, womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. Now, today, I thought I'd do a little bit of a different episode. I want to speak about an experience I've had last weekend. And the reason I want to speak to this experience is because it is a real life example as to how the mother wounds we carry, the trauma that we carry within as we have experienced maternal narcissistic abuse, can actually impact our life, our everyday life, how that happens, and the process that we may go through. And also, I want to share this with you because I've been doing this work for a while. I've been working on myself and healing for about 20 years now. And the work is not about getting to a place where things don't affect you anymore and triggers aren't actually there anymore. Because a lot of the times I know when I'm talking to clients and women contact me, they're like, oh, I've been doing this work and still things get triggered within my system. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to happen. That's actually going to, that part of you that got wounded, that got hurt, that got traumatized will still come back. That coping strategy will still knock at the door, even once you've realized that that's there. And the continuous journey is to keep moving through the layers, because each time that we go through a realization, that we get an insight as to how this works, that we do maybe some somatic therapy, we do some trauma therapy, we do whatever work you're doing with this, sometimes talk therapy, it's part of it too. Anytime that we get an insight when we do this work, we are moving through a layer. And then there's another layer in underneath, and we go deeper and deeper and deeper. And each time that we go deeper through a layer, we actually get a little bit more in touch with our real self, and we get liberated a little bit more. So it's not a journey that has actually a very specific end point, an end destination, and you're like, okay, once I reach that point, I have completed this and I'm done and I never have to do it again. My experience hasn't been like that at all. And actually, when I thought that it should have been like that, so when I used to think that it should have been a point where all of this was done and behind me, those moments were not very happy moments, because there was a lot of judging myself and beating myself up for still maybe getting triggered at times and still feeling a level of hurt and pain and emotions that sometimes I don't know how to cope with at moments, and that I have to go to the tools that I have to bring myself back to a place where I'm feeling good. So that's why I want to share this experience I've had during the weekend, which it's really a real life example. As you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know I don't actually really go too much in my personal, I do bring my personal experience, but I don't do episodes on that, because it's all about this podcast is about you and is about giving you tools and ways to understand better what you're going through and to deal with it and to heal powerfully, reclaiming yourself, reclaiming your life, reclaiming the fullness of who you are, reclaiming your identity. But I feel that this experience is worth sharing, because it's gonna, yeah, the hope, the intention behind sharing this is to inspire you, and to also, if you're going through situations like this and you ever feel like, oh, I've done so much work and I still get triggered and still I find certain things very difficult, very challenging, and maybe that I'm not actually doing the work right. Yeah, you're doing amazing. You are actually doing amazing. Remember that the first step in everything that I share, in every process that I share, the first step is always the same, and it's awareness. So when you feel the discomfort, when you're aware of what's going on, that is where you know you're 100% on track, and it's to be celebrated. So to get to what I want to talk about, last Saturday, we, as a family, myself, my husband and my two daughters, we went to Belfast, which from, it's about 3 hours drive from where we live. And we went to an informal meetup, an informal book signing with an author that I love deeply, that I've, she, like her books have been incredibly important in my life. I read most of her books, not all of them yet. I still have some in my list of books that I want to read, but I have read most of her books, and it's they've been really amazing for me. They've really helped me so much that one of my daughters is actually named after one of the characters from this author's books. So we went to meet Maria V. Snyder, and it was an amazing experience. It really was. She's a wonderful person to meet in person, to meet face to face, like super open, friendly, lovely. Like we were all really comfortable throughout the meeting, and it was really, really amazing. I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea. I've never even been to a book signing before. I've always lived in places where these events were very much out of reach, as in I would have had to travel a lot, and a lot of the times I didn't have the means to do that. So this was the first time, and so I really didn't know what to expect. But the experience was wonderful. It really was. And I'll get to it in a minute. But the thing that was interesting for me to observe, okay, was the process to get to actually, to get to experience this. That was what I want to share with you, because that's where all the patterns, all the triggers, all the awareness that you need to have, that's where the awareness becomes important, and that's where the other two steps, the acceptance and the authenticity, and that, all of that, it's so, so important in the phase before the actual event. So I think I may have seen on Maria's Instagram profile that she was coming to Belfast maybe about 2 weeks ago. And I remember, first of all, like, I saw that, and clearly there was a part of me that wanted to go, because I shared this with my husband. I mentioned, I was like, oh, wow, like, there is this author that I really like. And my husband knows, like, he knows the passion that I have for all these books and stuff. And he was like, he immediately was like, do you want to go? And it was weird. It's like, is that even an option? Like, are you telling me that we can drive 3 hours for me to go meet someone that meeting could like amount to about like maybe a minute if I'm lucky? I didn't know. It actually was a way longer meeting. We were able to be there for nearly an hour. So it was really wonderful. But I didn't know that. I had no idea. So I was like, is this worth, like, it's not actually about, is this author worth meeting? Because I knew she was. And it is not, so it's not about the other person. It's very much about me. It's like, do I deserve to do this entire trip just for me to fulfill this desire to go meet this person? So that's the first, that was the first obstacle. It's like, whoa, I don't deserve this. That's too much. And I want to clarify here, like, my husband would have never been the person that would have told me that I don't deserve to go and do something like that for myself. So this was completely coming from within. This is the thing that was completely coming from within. And so I kind of pushed over this and went, okay, let's put it in the diary. This is the time. I went look at where the place is. I went look at exactly how much time it would take. to go over and stuff. So I asked my daughters if they were interested, and of course they were absolutely enthusiastic about it. Both my daughters write stories. They love Maria's books. The one daughter that is named after one of the characters was like absolutely incredibly excited about meeting the person that wrote the story that she just has read so many times, that person has her name. So it was really, they were really enthusiastic, and still there was a part of me that was just, that still I could feel it had the handbrake on. It was like, does it really, I mean, it's 3 hours, like we'd be in the car 6 hours. And again, the brain, that part of us that doesn't feel deserving of such an experience, will bring up a series of incredibly rational points that make a lot of sense to put a limitation to us. You know, like, it makes no sense to drive 6 hours for a 2 minute thing. And I'm sure, and I know, I actually know, I know for a fact that if I talked to any member of my family of origin about this, I haven't. I did not mention one thing. They don't even know that I went. I would have had confirmation of that part. You know, that part of me would have had confirmation that that was completely ridiculous. It was a waste of money, a waste of your time, a ridiculous thing to do, such a drive. Possibly, I know, you know, if you're listening to me for a while, you know I'm not in contact with my mother, but my mother would have brought in the danger. It's like dangerous to be on the road for that amount of time and all of that. So that was always a thing. Anytime I wanted to drive somewhere, she was bringing up this incredible threat that driving anywhere was. Like, I mean, she drove places all the time, but for me, that was like something that was extremely dangerous and I should never do. So all of those stories were playing in my head, and it all was very valid. It all sounds incredibly valid, even to the point that despite my daughters having told me very specifically that they were incredibly enthusiastic about doing this thing, they actually really were incredibly enthusiastic about doing this thing, I still felt I was being selfish. Selfish. I was bringing my entire family to something that was for me, which it actually wasn't, because they really loved it. But still, that part of me was so adamant, you're being so selfish, wanting to do this thing for yourself. And so like this unfolded in the space of maybe about 10 days of back and forth in my own head. And I didn't speak this out to my, a little bit with my husband. I do speak about these things. He knows the processes and he knows how to support me and hold space. But in general, we were still on the, okay, we're going. I wasn't bringing those points. I've learned not to bring them as points, you know, as limitations, and still go with it. And yet inside, there was so much anxiety and so much like conflicting emotions, so many conflicting emotions within myself about this. And like, yeah, it was very interesting for me to observe all of that. So fast forward all the way to the day before going. So we're going. Okay, we're going. I've reconfirmed several times with my husband. I was like, are you really sure we're doing this? Are you really sure we're doing this? I even actually commented on a post of Maria saying, okay, we're going. I'm bringing my daughters to see you. Because it was like, okay, putting it out there makes a commitment, so that part of me that actually just still wants to pull the handbrake, I mean, has no excuses. I've made a commitment with this person now. I'm saying I'm going. And when we went somewhere else on Friday, and our car on the way back decided to overheat, and it seemed like there was an issue, like a serious issue that could have effectively blown the entire engine if we decided to take a drive the next day. So this, like, we were about maybe 8 or 9 in the evening facing this thing, going, okay, the car is broken, like we can't actually go. And that part of my system that had the handbrake on nearly celebrated and went, yay, you see, you now have the perfect excuse not to do this. It's not even your fault. Like, I mean, the car just went. So this is confirmation, or like, I know in the past I would have even called it fate. Now I sort of have a very, I don't want to, whatever you believe, and I am totally respectful of your beliefs, so don't take this. This is very much a personal take. I've moved from believing that things that happen were up to fate into actually realizing that a lot of the stuff comes really from patterns and coping strategies. And then we like to call it, well, I liked to call it fate, because that just took the responsibility away from me and put it into something else. So if fate decided that the car is broken, if fate decided that we're not meant to go, then we're not meant to go, and I'm off the hook. I don't have to make that decision anymore. I don't have to battle with these conflicting emotions. I don't have to face this part of me that is scared to death to do something that is for me, because that part of me is afraid of the consequences. With my mother, when I did something that made me happy or that was for me, there was always a price to pay. There was always a punishment that came afterwards in some way, an emotional punishment, something that would make me feel really, really, really bad and hurt afterwards. So obviously my system doesn't want to go there. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you realize that after a good time comes a really deeply hurting time, why the hell would you want to go for a good time? It's way easier not to. So you're preventing yourself from getting hurt again. So that part took that opportunity and went, whoa, okay, I'm off the hook. I have a perfect excuse. I don't need to worry. Well, the children are disappointed, of course, but I mean, they also understand that this has nothing to do with me. And even if I have to sort of send another message to Maria and say, well, you know, we couldn't make it because the car broke. I mean, no one can say anything. But our wonderful friend, we have a wonderful friend that is also our mechanic, just offered. He was like, okay, so what time do you have to leave? The next morning, I'll see your car early, early, early in the morning. If you bring it to me really early, and I will make sure it's fixed. Now, if it's something big, I can't do anything about it. But if it's something that is fixable, I'll make sure it's fixed so you can go. And it was like, wow. Okay, so now I'm really out of excuses. And we did go. This incredible person that I am so forever grateful for fixed our car, and we actually got to go. And I was still not convinced. I so still had the handbrake on inside of me, although we were going. I mean, we were driving. And then one of my daughters told me that the other one of my daughters was bringing a piece of a novel that she wrote, the beginning of it, for Maria to read, to show it to her. And I think that was what switched everything in my system. It was like, it's not about me. This is so much bigger than just me. This is about opportunities. And that part of me that is afraid of having a good day, of having a good moment, that gets anxious when something good happens. I don't know, does that ever happen to you? I know I've had plenty of clients telling me this. Oh, I get very anxious when something good happens to me. I do get very anxious. I get it. I really do, because it happens to me all the time. I'm so worried about the consequences. But that part of me all of a sudden became less important than the opportunities that going for things like that presents. It's not for me anymore. It actually became so much bigger, and that really supported me. And we got there, and as I said, we had this amazing experience. It was wonderful. And when I got there, we sat at the table, with the author and other people, wonderful people actually, that were there as well for the same reason. And like my husband was like, oh, you know, you can ask questions and you can say something. And I was, he didn't know what was going on inside of me. I couldn't speak. I got so emotional. It's like all of a sudden, I was actually really on the brink of tears for the first at least 15, 20 minutes. And it just being there and hearing Maria speaking and seeing my daughters interacting with her and with the other people that were there, and it brought it back for me the incredible relevance that the books that I've read have had for me. I've started with the Healers series. The first book is called Touch of Power. I remember that was the very first book that I read of Maria, and this must have been, God, it had to be at least 13 years ago, perhaps, or more, in and around. And I was so, at the time, I actually was working with my hands. I was working as a healer. I was doing energy work and shatsu work, and I was using my hands to heal people and help people. And that book brought me back to be in contact with that part of me after a lot of things had happened around that topic, and someone had really put me down and just made me lose the love of it. And those books, that series, brought me back to it really powerfully. And then a couple of years after, so much so that after reading that series, those books, I actually bought all the books that were available of Maria at the time. I found a bundle and I bought the whole lot. I bought about 11 books in one go or something like that. And I read the Poison Study series. And that time was the time where I had left home. I had left Italy with my little one. My eldest was only 2 at the time, and myself, my husband, and my little one had to leave because of my mother and my grandmother and a lot of stuff that was going down. We were leaving with both of them at the time, and it was really, really challenging. And it became very obvious that we couldn't live like that anymore. I couldn't deal. I didn't know about maternal narcissism at the time. I had no idea. I didn't know about anything. All I knew was that it was absolutely detrimental. Like, my marriage was gonna break apart if I didn't move, and I couldn't protect my child from their toxic behaviors. And I really was adamant that my child, at the time I only had one, but that my child would not be through the same hurt and pain that I had been through as a child. So I was like, okay, we left. But it was really difficult. I left behind a work that I absolutely loved. I left behind my home place, which I still today love. It's one of the most beautiful places on the planet for me. And I had to leave for a different country because we moved from Italy to Ireland. So it was a really difficult time. I was not in a good place. And reading her book, Poison Study, and the story of Yelena Zoltana, just gave me so much hope. It gave me so much strength. It's a fantasy story. Like, it's a fantasy and a romance, and it's beautiful. But that's the journey of this character, this female character, that starts from, I don't want to tell you the story, but it's like, it's an incredible journey. And I felt like her journey started from a place that was very similar to mine. It felt emotionally, it felt very similar to mine. And so reading her journey helped me through like really, really dark places. And I never really reflected on this. And I actually read so many more fantasy books after that, but I was on reflection. That was actually, those books, Maria's books, were the first that I read that started me on this path of loving this kind of genre and these types of books. And mainly changed, like they really helped me. And when I sat there at the table on Saturday, that came all back to me in one go. It's like this amount of emotions that I have kept clearly somewhere, they were locked somewhere in my system, came out all of a sudden. And that was so important. It had to happen, because what happens after an experience like that? So you to bring it back to speaking, to having mother wounds and to having been through a lot. So like very often what happens is that these wounds that we carry, this trauma, when we listen to that part, when we fully listen to that part, and that can prevent us from having experiences, can prevent us from, there can be such a level of fear and anxiety and guilt and so many different things come in that prevents us from having experiences that then open up the next layer. And is there anything wrong? I mean, if you're listening to this and going, "Oh my God, this happens to me all the time," that's okay. That's fine. If that's what's happening, it's okay. If I hadn't gone, because actually that part of me was way too strong, there's no judgment. I probably would have judged myself severely in the past. Now I'm getting to a place where it's like, okay, it's okay. If that felt like too much and you had to go, you know what, I can't actually do that, that's okay. Because there is no force in this. There is, when we try and force this, we're re-traumatizing the system, and that's not ever helpful. However, when you can become aware that these are the patterns, so you can actually sit back and go, okay, the part of me that is really not wanting me to go is that part of me that feels these fears because of what has happened to me in the past. You mightn't even have the full-on memories or the full of threads as to what started this pattern. Sometimes, yes, if you get to that, that's great, but it's not necessary. Like, you don't have to get to that. But when we have that awareness, so when you have that awareness and you get to that, then you get to accept that part. That's where the acceptance step comes in. You get to accept that part. You go, okay, that part is scared. That part has seen stuff happening. That part know has a knowing that there's a risk in here. And so that part is scared. That's okay. It's like you're seeing that part of yourself and you're going, I see you and I get it. I get it that you're feeling like you don't deserve this for yourself. I get it that you're feeling selfish. I get it that you're afraid that it's gonna go bad. I get all of that. That's okay. But we're gonna do this anyway. You know what? We're just gonna go. We're gonna go. Because also in that moment, there's more than one part, and there is also a part. I know there was a part of me that really wanted to go. There was a part of me that I finished, completely finished a book, and I'm in the process of going to the next steps. I want to be a published author. That is something that has been my dream for years and years and years. So meeting someone that is a published author, and that does it so amazingly and that writes so well, it's an incredible opportunity. My daughters also love writing, so for them to meet a person like that, it's amazing. It starts making it possible. It starts already from a very young age, showing them that, yeah, people like that are people. They're not like some mythological creatures that live on a different planet. They're actually people, and they live their passions and they do what it takes to get there, and it's amazing. So that part of me was also there. And so it starts becoming a game of understanding, becoming aware of what parts are at play within yourself. The wounded part, the part that's scared, the part that has been through shitty experiences and doesn't want to be through them again. And then there's the part that has the courage. There's the part that knows, yeah, this is amazing. This is a great opportunity. Yes, you can do it. All those parts are there. And sometimes we can feel that one is predominant. You know, when we're fully caught in the pattern, we can feel that the part that's scared is actually the totality. You may feel that you are scared, that fear, that anxiety actually identifies you. You are, defines you. You are that person that is so anxious and so frightened and so scared. But that's not actually how it is. You are not your anxiety. You are not your fears. You are not your mother wounds. None of that defines you. That's a part of you that sometimes get very loud, for sure. It can get very loud, but that's a part of you. And then there is another part. There is another part that has the courage. It's there. I know it's there. You're listening to this, so it's there. Because it's that part of you that is having you here listening to this. It's that part of you that wants to hear, okay, what's that personal experience that this person has had that showed her these different aspects that can help me overcoming when that other part comes in. So that's the part in you that's having you now listening to this, that's having you researching maternal narcissism to understand, that's having you looking into your life and seeing, well, what do I actually dream about? What is it that I really want to do? What are the things that I, up until this point, I thought I didn't deserve, but I actually really do deserve? What are the things that make me happy? What are the things that I want to do? Not that my mom expects me to do, not that other people want me to do, not that my anxiety prevents me to do. What are the things that I actually want to do? And what are the steps I have to take to make this happen? That part is in you. And when we move from awareness to accepting all these parts, then from there, we move to the next layer, to the next level, which is authenticity. And authenticity means you become the author of your life. And it's very interesting that all of this came out. Well, I'm talking about this, and I'm talking about this after meeting someone that is an author of amazing books. But as well as what does an author of books does? She writes a story. And when you become the author of your own life, you write your own story. And at that point, all of the parts of you have a part to play in that story. They're all welcome, but you get to decide what part they play. So you're not disregarding the part of you that's scared. That part of you needs acknowledging and needs to be seen, needs to be held, needs to know that you're not rejecting that part. But she's not the one that is driving. She's not the one in the driving seat. She's not going to be the protagonist of that story. And that's okay. You can lovingly say to that part, that's great. I get how you're feeling. I totally hear you. But we're going to do this anyway. The protagonist is the one that can tap into that courage. That's the part. And that's the part that moves forward and takes the steps that are necessary. And that, all of that, all of those parts make you who you are, your identity. Very often when we're talking about reclaiming an identity, we're talking about letting go of a bunch of stuff to get a whole bunch of new things that describe you. And well, I suppose words can be interpreted in many ways. But what I have observed is that when we're focusing very much on letting go of a bunch of stuff, we're actually rejecting parts of ourselves that are there. And yes, maybe they wouldn't have been there if you didn't have the trauma and the wounds and all of that. But they are there nonetheless. I was reflecting literally during this weekend after this incredible experience, because having actually going there in the end and having this experience with this incredible person I got to meet and feel so blessed that I have met, unlocked a whole heap of inspiration and a whole heap of reflections for myself. So again, when we move through the awareness of the pattern, then the acceptance of the parts, and then into authenticity, we're moving to a next level, and we access and tap into inspiration. So what I was reflecting on was that something that for me is so essential, like it actually drives pretty much every work I do. It drives my writing in novels. It drives my work here with the podcast when I write the episodes. It drives my work in the women's circles. It drives my work in a one-on-one when I'm talking to one-on-one clients. It drives my parenting. It drives everything, every work that I'm going to do from here on. It actually used to be at the base of my work when I worked with horses and people. It's always the same thing. It's this never wanting to impose one truth. I genuinely don't believe in one truth, in one way of doing things, and supporting people in and here I'm supporting daughters of narcissistic mothers. In other situations, I've supported different groups, but supporting people into find their own way, what works for them, their own way. Ultimately, their authentic self coming through and bringing in their own way. And that is very much coming from the mother wounds I've carried, because my mother, my mother had one truth. There's always one truth on every topic, you name it. There was one truth, and if you moved half an inch to the right, half an inch to the left of that truth, you were wrong, so wrong. There was one right truth, and everything else was wrong. And that's really caging for the spirit, for the soul, for the heart. That's like a cage. If I stayed in that cage, I'd get validation and approval from my mother. But if I moved anywhere, trying to even get out of it, not even fully getting out of the cage, but just trying to open the door a crack and look outside of that cage, I get nailed. It's wrong, 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 wrong. You are wrong. It makes you wrong. Being put down, criticized, you name it, like emotionally destroyed. You're wrong. There's only one truth. So that part of me that has lived through that, the wounded part, has been scared for a long, long time to speak what my view on things was, to even explore what I would feel about something. I needed for a very long time, and there's that part of me that comes on every now and again as well, still needing approval and validation from some kind of person that I decided was in authority. So maybe about some teacher, some person that had done it before me or whatever, someone that would validate my view, and only then I would speak to it. So that's the wounded part. That's the part that if she's in the driving seat, I'm not gonna get many places. I'm not actually gonna do much. I'm only gonna just sort of follow, maybe somehow in the footsteps of someone, and find a safe comfort zone that is like, okay, that person has said that before me, so I can say that now. I'm kind of safe to say that. That was the wounded part in the driving seat. But when you acknowledge that part, so whatever that part is for you, this is my personal example, okay? That part acknowledged becomes a strength, becomes a superpower, because now it's fueling the mission of my life, which is actually supporting people finding their own truth. So acknowledging that, okay, I'm scared to speak my truth. I'm scared to even look for my truth. I'm scared to acknowledge that I might have a truth. That's the wound. But when that is harnessed, then it becomes the fuel for everyone's truth is to be honored. And there's so many other people out there that are scared to find that truth within themselves, to follow their hearts, to follow what their soul calling is. And I'm going to support I'm gonna be there offering a container and a container and a space for people that feel that way, so that they don't have to suffer that pain anymore and they can actually move through these different layers and find what their truth is. So do you get the change? So that's how we move from we go through awareness. First, you become aware that there's that part in you. You become aware of the patterns. You become aware of, okay, that wound causes these patterns, impacts my life these ways, it prevents me from doing these things, whatever. That's okay. All of that is okay. That's the awareness. You move into the acceptance. You're accepting that part for what it is. She doesn't need to be fixed. She doesn't need to be removed from you. It's not like a surgery where we're getting a part and taking it out. We don't do that. That part has a space and has a place and deserves to be seen and accepted. And then from there, you're moving into becoming the author of your life. You're moving into authenticity. You're moving into turning that part of you into your superpower. And I remember hearing this like many years ago. I can't even remember who said that. It was maybe I was watching some videos or reading something about this, and it was like, oh, your deepest flaws are gonna be your superpower. And it was like, yeah, as a concept, sounds really awesome, but how do I get to it? I have no idea what that means. Like, how do I turn all these things that I hate about myself into my superpower? That sounded like an utopistic sort of thing to me at the time. I had no idea how to do that. And now, after being through the experience of last weekend is just one experience. I've had so many of these experiences in the years, and always, it always went back to the same thing. That's why I now have it in, it's like a three-step process, because it's like it always went back to the same thing for me. First you become aware of it, then you accept it, and then that just transforms it. It like it's the alchemic process. It goes from a rock into gold. And you become the author of your life, and you make it what it is. You make it what you want it to be. You transform each experience. And that part is still there. I was still scared when I sat in front of this incredible person. I was still scared when I saw, okay, it's a table full of people. That for me is extremely challenging still. They're full of people that I don't know. I don't feel in control. I have no idea how this is gonna go. I have no idea what's expected of me. I'm also here with my daughter, so I need to be in a certain way because I don't want them to take on those patterns. I don't want them to be scared when they're seeing a table full of people, because why would you want to be scared? There's no need. So, but I know that part is in me. So it's like throughout the entire experience, from the first moment that I read that Maria Wiesneider was going to be in Belfast, to the point where I sat in front of her, to the entire experience, and even the afterwards, I had to hold that part that was scared by the hand and go, I know you're here. It's okay that you're here. We're going to do this together. You're not alone. And we're going to do this together. And yes, there's that part that's scared, but it's beside the part that isn't. And we're gonna go through this, and we're gonna see where this goes. And that made it like an amazing experience. So the reason I wanted to share this with you is because it's because you can do it too. I'm not up there anywhere. It's not like, oh my God, you can do it because you're so this or so that. No, it's like I'm just a person very much like you, very much like everyone else. I've been through a ton of horrendous experience, just the same as you, just the same as anyone else that is listening to this podcast. a lot of them came from my mother's complete lack of awareness of how her own patterns and her own behaviors transformed into absolute toxicity to be around. She has no idea. She's completely blind to it all. There's no awareness, and all of her wounds dictate her life completely and made her into a person that has incredibly narcissistic behaviors. And her own mother was the same, is the same. She's still with us. So I'm not special in any way. And the purpose of me sharing this is to inspire you into, yeah, knowing that you can do that. It's not simple in the in terms that it doesn't require any effort and that is easy. There is an effort there. There is an effort, because having that awareness and doing that like requires a certain level of effort. You have to be there. You have to be present. You can't just give in to the automatic patterns that feel more comfortable because they're more habitual. Those are the patterns that we just go with all the time. Because they've kept us safe growing up. So there's an easy, like it feels superficially easier to fall and collapse and to go with the patterns. So there is an effort. There is a practice. There are skills that can be learned. All of this, all that I'm sharing with you, getting to the awareness, getting to the acceptance, and getting to become the author of your life, getting to the authenticity. All of these are skills that can be practiced and learned. That's what I've done. Thankfully, I've had amazing mentors and guides along the way that helped me through it. With the right support, you can learn all of that and then make it your own. Get this process. And as I said, there isn't one way to go about things. There isn't one truth. This is my experience. What you can do then with this, when you practice and learn it, you make it your own process. You maybe change the words in words that resonate more with you. Make it your own, design your own steps that you're going through. Find your own ways to go through it, to go through the process. And that's how you become the author of your life. That's how you reclaim your fullness, you reclaim your identity, you reclaim yourself, not as a bunch of things that you think that define you, but as the real you that comes up, comes out, comes to the surface, and then you live from there. And it's a much different life. It's a much different life from there. I know it is. I really have had enough experiences of it at this point. At the beginning, they were just glimpses in an ocean of coping strategies and very unhelpful patterns. They were like glimmers, little glimpses of what it could be to live from a different place. But now those experiences have become more and more and more, the majority. And again, that can happen. That is a total possibility. No matter how dark you feel your life is at the moment, no matter how much anxiety you feel, no matter how much guilt, no matter how much your mother is still playing a massive role in your life, making you feel horrible all the time, no matter how dysregulated you feel, no matter how much overwhelmed you feel when emotions come in. I get it. I really get it. I've been places repeatedly in the last, like in my entire life actually, but definitely since I started having awareness of all of this, I've been in horrible places where I felt so defeated and so hopeless and like I couldn't, like that time when I started reading Poison Study. I was in a really dark place. I had lost hope on so much. I didn't think I could pull myself out. There was so much, like, hopelessness is the word really. Where it came from tons of guilt, tons of inadequacy, tons of feeling like I was never going to be good enough to do anything. All these beliefs that came from my mother diminishing me, comparing me to others, belittling me all the time, criticizing, telling me there was only one truth, and if I didn't go with that, I'd be wrong, and all of that. So all of that was in my system. I was looking at my little child, not knowing, what am I even going to teach you? Like, I'm only going to make a mess here, and I'm already making a mess, and I felt I was so deep into the mess that I couldn't actually get out of it. I had suicidal thoughts. I was really, really in a dark place. So if you're feeling any of that, any version of that, I totally get it. I totally get it. But there is a way out. It's like, there is a way out, and it's a way out that is achievable, that is doable, because it's a step by step. You don't have to see the full picture. You don't have to know. I remember being told, oh, where do you want to be in a year? Give me your dream of how your life is going to be in 1 year time. Give me your vision, your 10 years vision. And I remember I couldn't even tell you where I wanted to be at the end of the week. I was that desperate that to actually stretch myself so far as to see what that vision was going to be. It was going to be so damn hard. I couldn't do it. When you're so deep in hopelessness, you can't see that far ahead. That's hurtful, because you don't believe you're gonna make it there. So why the hell would I look at that vision if no part of me believes I can ever make it there? But when you're going, okay, it's a step by step. All you need to do now is just sit down and do a few things that allow you to be more aware. Oh, okay, well, that's doable. I just have to become aware. What next? Don't worry about what you have to do next. What you have to do first is just become a little bit more aware. Oh, and then once, and it's a cyclical. So like, you become aware, you accept that part. That's the next step. Oh, okay. I have to do that. Yeah, that's what you do. And there are steps to do that. And then after that, then authenticity kind of happens. You don't even have to do it. That's like the awareness. You're working on it. The acceptance, that's, I think, the part where we need to work a little harder, because it's judging and criticizing we're good at, but accepting, we need to work a little. But there are ways to do that. And then the next bit is authenticity, and that kind of emerges by itself. Your authentic self is there, so she already wants to come out. She just needs to find the opening. And with awareness and an acceptance, you give her that opening to then come out. So that, and then what happens? You repeat, because there's going to be another layer, and so you're going to have to go back to awareness and then accept this new layer. And then let a little bit more of your authentic self come out, and you just keep on going, and that becomes a step-by-step process that is so doable. So I want to go and see Maria Snyder. I just take and become aware of all that's blocking me, of all these patterns, and I'm like, okay. And then I need to just do whatever it takes and accept those parts. And again, I'm not going through all of this, but there's ways. There's exact ways to get to awareness. There's exact ways to get to acceptance. And then, so it's not like that you have to figure out how to do this. I'm going to work, like, that's the work I do. If you're working with me, these are the steps we're moving through. And depending on your experience and what you're bringing, there's differences in how this works. There's differences in how you get to awareness compared to how I get to awareness. There's differences how you get to accept compared to how I do that. But that's okay. We get there, and then the authentic you is going to be completely different from the authentic me. And there's going to be, I mean, where however many people are on this planet, there's going to be however many different, unique, authentic people, because we are different. That's your authenticity is going to be different from everyone else. But that's what brings the experience of then being in front of Maria V. Snyder. For me, that was my experience. And having that, unlocking a new level of who I am and a new level of what I love and what I believe in and what works for me. And that's the process. And then repeat. So becomes, like for me, that was, it becomes a very repeatable process that works. I'm a result-based practitioner. So whatever works, that's what I use. Whatever doesn't work, it's not for me. That doesn't work. So yeah, I wanted to share this experience with you. And I also wanted to offer, again, just grab the opportunity to offer my incredible gratitude to Maria V. Snyder for her books, for her warmth, for making it possible, for being such an amazing person to meet, and for opening up all of these new levels of awareness and reflections for me and inspiration, and also for being so kind with my daughters, which have been so excited since, like, talking about it, they've loved the experience. So it was overall amazing. So yeah, I just wanted to add that at the end. And to you listening in, if you have any questions on this, I'm going to talk about this process again and again. I'm working on a guide, a roadmap, a guide for this exact process, which I'm going to be making available for free. So you're going to be able to access it soon. This is in the, it's in the works in progress, it's coming out. So yeah, reach out, share with me, send me an email, mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. You can send me an email, and also the email address is in the description of this episode, together with all the links you might need. So if you want to share your experience, if you have questions on this, if you want to know more about this, send me an email, reach out, be in touch. And with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week, send you lots of love, and bye for now.